Father, I want to thank you for blessing our Sabbath school, our church service, and I want you to continue to bless as we complete this beautiful service here today. Lord, be with me and use me that when it's said and done, we will say, we saw Jesus and we heard Jesus and we will not be the same. So use me in spite of me, Lord, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I heard this story about FDR when he was president, the 32nd president of the United States. He got tired of saying the usual things at all the times for all the White House receptions. So one evening he decided to find out if anybody was paying attention to what he said. As each person came up to him and shook his hand, he would smile and say, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." And person after person greeted him and would respond with, "How lovely. That's nice." And FDR realized that no one was listening to him at all. And the question today is, are you listening close enough, long enough, and often enough to the most important voice that is constantly trying to get our attention? And so the question is, which group are you in? Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Jeremiah, the 26th chapter. Children, take your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah, the 26th chapter. And by the way, periodically I must say to the children, the pastor keeps saying that I don't have a Bible, then see me and I'll give you one. Jeremiah 26. And we're going to look at all 24 verses. I'm going to read this story to you and illustrate a couple of important, incredible, challenging, and frightening points. And I'm going to try to whittle her down. But let's see what the Lord has to say. You got Jeremiah, the 26th chapter. Here's another purpose of this. I want you to love your Bibles. Man, I read the Bible. It's just incredible. This story will really challenge your thinking if you stop and ponder what we're being told here. Let's go. Jeremiah 26. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, king, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, the word came from the Lord, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak to all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house. All of the words which I command you to speak to them, do not diminish a word. Perhaps everyone will listen and they'll turn from their evil way, that I may relent concerning the calamity which I purpose to bring on them because of the evil of their doing. And you shall say to them, thus saith the Lord, if you shall not listen to me to walk in my law which I have set before you, to heed the word of my servants, the prophets whom I have sent to you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not heeded, then I will make this house like the house of Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations on earth." Whoa, I suddenly decided to stop there. And let's take a look at this. Because you see, Jeremiah was told by God to go and preach. And notice the first thing he said. Don't miss this. He said, go to the temple and speak to those who are worshiping there. We're on the inside, right? You got that? Do you have that? Okay, come on. Stay with me. Wake up. We'll get through this. He said that the purpose is, Jeremiah, so I can relent from what I'm planning to do to them for their rebellion. Jeremiah, don't diminish the words that I'm telling you. Speak plain English, because I don't want this to happen to my people. But he closed off his little sermon by saying, then I will make this house like Shiloh. Now, folks, that isn't good. Okay? You have to go back to 2 Kings and or 1 Kings and look it up real quick and find out that Shiloh was where priest Eli was with his two sons that were completely complete reprobates. And he would not discipline them. And because of his lack of disciplining his children, the Israelites and their spirituality nosedived. They got in a war with the Philistines. Can you believe that? The Philippines. But Lord, that's when they lost the Ark of the Covenant to the enemy. That's where the sons of Eli were killed. And that's when the message came back to him. It killed him too. And I want you to see the response of this. Let's go on with the story and take a look at verse 7 through 9. So the priest, who? And the prophets, who? And all the people, who? Who heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it happened when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the seized Jeremiah, and they said, you shall surely die. Well, hold on here a second. Am I reading this right? I'm a little bit confused. This is on the inside, right? And when Jeremiah told them what God said, who turned against him? The priests, the prophets, and the people. Now, is there anybody else in here who's concerned about this? Folks, let me tell you why, where we're going here. If you read Isaiah and you read Jeremiah and then Ezekiel, you'll discover that Isaiah, in a very pointed way, was warning Israel they're headed for trouble. Jeremiah got to the point where he told them it's too late. So what you do is surrender to the king of Babylon and you will live. And then we get to Ezekiel and it tells us what it's like on the other side when they were in captivity. Folks, in other words, Jeremiah is living in our time today. Are you ready for priests and prophets and people who want to kill the prophet that's bringing truth? Are you ready for that? I mean, doesn't Matthew 24 say many false prophets will come in my name? Do you feel up to the task? When I read this the other day, I thought, Lord, this is horrifying. Am I ready for that? Do I know my Bible well enough? Am I listening close enough? Am I listening long enough? And am I listening often enough so that when they come, I will know who's right and who's wrong. You know, I talked to the elders today. Because believe it or not, I don't think you know it. And I'm praising God you don't have to know it. But last Sabbath we had 3 false prophets in this church. And that had they stayed, they would have brought a message that isn't biblical. They would have brought it with power, with fervor, with conviction, and intelligent. And I thought, how many of my people are up to this? Jeremiah goes to the temple on Sabbath. And by the way, it doesn't say Sabbath, but we're presuming you're all here. It's an inside job. He tells them what God says, and they decide that here's what we need to do with the messenger. Kill him. Because we don't like what he's saying. And so, folks, the day is coming, and it's coming soon. Are we ready for this? And oh, I wish I could bridge the gap with your thinking, because as I speak, I go, now everybody's sitting there and going, well, no one will fool me. But we're in God's house, where His name is, where He directed David and Solomon. Specifically, and we're down the line away, and the priests and the prophets and the people are believing a lie just before King Nebuchadnezzar comes down and wipes them out and levels the whole temple. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is what we have to look forward to. Are we ready? In fact, which group are we in? Hey, well, let's go on with the story. Take this out. Verse 10 and 11. A little ray of sunshine. When the princes of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. And the priests and the prophets spoke to the princes and to the people, saying, this man deserves to die, for he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your own ears. And so Jeremiah then defends himself. Jeremiah says, then Jeremiah spoke to all the princes and all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city, with all the words that you have heard. Now therefore amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God. And then the Lord, there's that word again, will what? Relent. He'll relent concerning the doom that He has pronounced against you. As for me, here I am in your hand. Do with me as seems good and proper to you. But know for certain that if you put me to death, you will surely bring innocent blood on yourselves, on this city, and on the inhabitants. For truly the Lord has sent me to you, speaking all these words in your hearing. By the way, you've got to read the rest of Jeremiah and you'll find out specifically what he was saying to them besides this little blurb that we got here at the beginning that made them so angry. And look at how Jeremiah stood firm. Young people, I want you to know that God called Jeremiah when he was so young that Jeremiah said, Lord, I can't be a prophet because I am a child. Jeremiah started his 40-plus years prophetic ministry as a child. Do you wonder why he picked a child to do such a hard task? The child was the only one that probably wasn't tainted enough that he could use to do it. Old folk like me, that's an insult to us. Not that I don't believe the youth aren't the ones that are going to finish the work, but I'm supposed to be right by their side, training them, encouraging them to use their intelligence, to use their energy, and to use their ability where I can't do it anymore. But that's not what's being said here. Instead, the prophets, the priests, and the people are saying, kill them. Well, there's another ray of sunshine as we continue the story in verse 16. So the princes and all the people said to the priests and the prophets, this man does not deserve to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. Now, did anybody pick up the flip-flop here? You know, it's very sad that our society today, that the politicians in their debating, which to me, I can't watch the debates. I'm embarrassed for men and women of intelligence at their level to cut each other down the way they do in public. If you flip-flop, you are ridiculed. Do you notice who flip-flopped here? Who flip-flopped? You didn't get it. See, it started out with the priests, the prophets, and the people, but now you come over here to verse 16. It says, so the princes and the people said to the priests and the prophets, this man does not deserve to die. Oh, we need more people who will recognize the truth when they hear it, not be caught up in gang mentality, in crowd mentality. For suddenly we find the people are now on the side of the princes, declaring to the priests and the prophets that this man does not deserve to die. And I thought to myself, boy, they have to be discerning people to be able to pick the right side. Are we ready for that? Which group are you in? And then there's a little bit more good news here. Verse 17, then a certain of the elders. Did you get that? Certain of the elders of the land rose up and spoke to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah of Moresheth prophesied in the day of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spoke to all the people of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, Jerusalem shall become a heaps and ruins, and the mountains, the mountain of the temple, like the bare hill of the fire of the forest. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all of Judah put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and seek the Lord's favor? And the Lord relented concerning the doom which he had pronounced against them. But we are doing great evil against ourselves. Certain elders showed up and they referred to a previous incident a couple of kings ago, in which another prophet came and prophesied the same thing, and instead of killing him, guess what they did? They repented. And God relented. And He didn't do what He said He was going to do. And so now we got the princes and the people and a certain group of elders. And I'm going, praise God. And you're sitting there, you got to read this closely, carefully, you got to read it multiple times, and you go, surely this put the scales over. Surely this put the scales over. Well, did it? Look at the next verse, 20. Now there was also a certain man who prophesied in the name of the Lord Urijah, the son of Shemaiah of Kerjeth-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim the king, with all his mighty men and all his princes, heard this word, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went to Egypt. Then Jehoiakim the king sent men to Egypt. And then it tells us who those men were, verse 23. And they brought Urijah from Egypt and brought him to Jehoiakim the king, who killed him with a sword and cast his dead body into the grave of the common people. Now, folks, I had the advantage of studying this before, okay? You didn't. Do you understand that after they used a biblical example of King Hezekiah not killing the prophet Micah, they then countered with their own true story about another prophet who was killed by the present king who was reigning at this very moment? The scales were not tipped. And then look at the final verse. Meet a man that's very interesting. Ahikam. Verse 24. Nevertheless, the land of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah so that they should not give him into the hands of the people to put him to death. One individual. You know what the commentary said? I looked at the commentaries and I discovered something. They're not sure how this fits in it exactly. And some of them think that this man stood up. And by the way, he was one of Josiah's counselors. Okay? He was part of the reformation Josiah set into place. And now the reigning kings were a series of sons of Josiah who all were bad. And they claim that what this verse means is this one guy showed up and grabbed Jeremiah and took him out of there and hit him. If that is true, then the scales still aren't tipped. Are you ready for all this? Maybe you're sitting there going, what's the pastor trying to say? Folks, these are powerful people on the wrong side of the Lord inside the church. Are you ready for this? This is what Jeremiah had to deal with. In fact, let me read this to you. I found this very interesting. I found this very intellectual publication. It said this. I'm trying to remember the name of the publication. God's personal message to Jeremiah is found in chapter 1, verse 19. He said, attack you, they will. Overcome you, they can't. Was fulfilled many times in the biblical narrative. Jeremiah was attacked by his own brothers, beaten and put into stocks by a priest and a false prophet, imprisoned by the king, threatened with death twice, thrown into a cistern by the Judah's officials, and opposed by a false prophet. When Nebuchadnezzar seized Jerusalem in 586 B.C., he ordered Jeremiah to be freed from the prison. And get this now, here's what Wikipedia says. And was treated well by the outside, but like garbage on the inside. There's something wrong here. Are you ready for this? Sobering, isn't it? And why am I saying all this? Because we have a Jesus. But he said only the truth will set you free. And we can't remake Jesus like a rubber nose that if we decide it should go over here, we move it and it stays there. Is it rubber nose? clay knows? What is it? Anybody knows? Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and His truth will set us free. We have the three angels' message in love that must be preached. We must make a high standard of our living. We must not begin to throw out or to question our standards or our doctrines. And those who listen long enough, hard enough, and often enough will clearly see that that's the only way to honor Jesus. And so in the last days, many false prophets will come. And there'll be priests that are preaching the wrong thing. And there'll be congregations that like the wrong thing. And there'll be a few people like the princes and certain elders and a man named Eliakim. And the question is, which group are you in? The largest radio receiver on earth is in New Mexico. The Carl J. Jansky Very Large Array, VLA, is a radio astronomy observatory. Pilots call it the Mushroom Patch. It is a series of huge satellite disks on 38 miles of railway. Together, the dishes mimic a single telescope the size of Washington, D.C. And by the way, each one of those telescopes is 230 tons. Astronomers come from all over the world to analyze the optic images of the heavens composed by the VLA, Very, Very Large Array. From the radio signals it receives from outer space. Why is such a giant apparatus costing the taxpayers millions, yea, billions of dollars? Because the radio waves often emitted from sources millions of light years away are very faint. The total energy of all radio waves ever recorded barely equal the force of a single snowflake hitting the ground. And what great lengths people will go to search for a faint message from space when God has already spoken to us clearly through His Son and through His Word. Which group do you belong to? Father in heaven, I pray that you would take these details of Jeremiah 30:26, filter them through our individual needs, wants, likes, understandings, and make it plain that we are living in very difficult times. Because the lines of right and wrong are being blurred even inside the church. Lord, I want myself and my people to listen long enough, to listen close enough, and to listen hard enough so that we can see the lines clearly when others, they're blurred. So that we can stand for right and people can be sent here who are looking for an anchor and not just a weed shaken in the wind. Father, help us now and convict us of our need to spend time every day with you so you can mold us and teach us and change us and we can help others to know you too. So bless us to this end and thank you for hearing this prayer because it is prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.